Well, good evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we honor you tonight. We exalt you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to us and your love to us in sending the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in us. And we honor you tonight. We honor you and we thank you for the wonderful, sweet Spirit in this place. We thank you for the opportunity we have as God's people together in this place to look at your word and to consider what you have for us tonight. But we come asking you that we might be those who are faithful to glorify you with our bodies and with our words and in our actions. We pray for those, Lord, who come here tonight, all of us included, facing all kinds of emotions and desires today. So we've had our days been full. Now we're about to finish another day of our life, never to have it again. This day is about done. I pray that we've used today as best we can to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us where we have failed you. Forgive us when we have not lived as we should live and spoken as we should speak. We'll not have this day back again. As the psalmist says, we praise you for your loving kindness in the morning. And now we say thank you for your faithfulness at night. We pray, Lord, for those who are a part of our church who have sadness today. They have sick ones. They have lost loved ones. They are in despair and in grief. We pray for them. And for others who have great joy today, we pray for those who are our young people and those who are our senior adults, all ages that make up this church. And we pray that you might help us to be faithful, to minister to them all in the way that you'd want us to. So now, Lord, we look again at the things that the Apostle Peter says that we need. May we take these things to heart. May we truly apply them to our lives so that we might live lives of holiness, and that each day of our life will matter to you. And we thank you for the chance to be together tonight. So now we pause for just a moment and we seek to be still, to know that you are God. We bring now our thoughts to you. We bring them captive to the obedience of Christ. We ask that you would help us tonight and be our teacher, Holy Spirit, as we look at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you pick up the outline tonight, it's good to see all of you. And God bless you. Hope you've had a good day. We continue to look in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you'll find your place there, over in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter is reminding those who have received a faith of the same kind as his. What a wonderful way to start this letter. He says that in verse number 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. Our faith is just like the Apostle Peter's. Isn't that wonderful? The same. By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we're looking these days, especially at verses beginning in verse number 5 and going through verse number 10. So we'll read these verses again together. If you've not been with us, we're looking at a series of words that Peter gives us here that have to do with things that we need as we live our Christian life so that we might be fruitful and useful to God, and that we might be faithful to Him and not stumble into sin. So we read these wonderful words, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities that he's just described, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, these qualities, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So things we need. We jumped into the list, and I started in about the center of the list. The first week we were together back in the fellowship hall, and some of you were with us, some of you were not, and we talked about endurance, and you see it there in, I read from the New American Standard Bible translation, and in verse number 6, it is the word perseverance. It is the same word, endurance, perseverance. Then we talked about the importance of diligence in verse number 5. Now, for this very reason and all the reasons we've looked at in detail in verses 2, 3, 4, he builds all of these things for us so that we come to this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith. And we talked about diligence and diligent faith. And then we talked about last week moral excellence. Now, you notice these things build one on another. These qualities go together. They're linked together in our Christian life. There's not one or the other. It's not that you pick one or the other. All of these matter. In many ways, this is Peter's way of describing qualities of godliness, character, virtue, goodness. I mentioned to you last week as we were talking about moral excellence, how do you describe goodness, the goodness of God? It is the best of good. That's the idea. It's the best of good. And I gave you the old saying. Some of you old people didn't even know this old saying. I was surprised how many old people in here didn't know this saying. So I say it again for all the old people in here, because you probably forgot. It is Wednesday, by the way, just so you know what day it is. Good, better, best. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good becomes better and your better becomes best. So when we talk about moral excellence, we're talking about the highest form of goodness. Sometimes in your Bibles, it'll translate the word virtue. Virtue is not a word we're very familiar with in our language these days. Somewhat has lost its understanding. So it's the idea I just gave you the old time, the Tennessee way. It's the best good. That's what it is. So we were looking at all the different ways that we're to live in moral excellence. But now, notice these things are linked together. I just give you this quick little thing so that you see this. This is describing the character of those who are believers in Jesus Christ, who are effective and useful for God. They're diligent in their faith, morally excellent. And then tonight we come to look at knowledge. They're knowledgeable. They know God. They have self-control, they have endurance, and they have godliness, and they have brotherly kindness, and they have love. So these are the qualities that we're looking at. These are some things you need to know. And as your pastor, I want you to know these things and consider them. And I hope that when you leave here, that you'll use some of these things in your own devotional time, in your own meditation time, to think about, how are you doing in these various qualities in your life? So tonight we come to these wonderful words and we think about knowledge. Knowledge. And I want you to keep your place in 2 Peter and go over now to John chapter 17 for just a moment in your Bible. Follow me over. And we have many places to go in our Bibles tonight. We won't necessarily read all of these verses, but I will refer you to some in our time together. Oh, knowledge. The knowledge of God. We read an astounding statement that the Lord makes in His great high priestly prayer in John 17. Jesus spoke these things and lifting up His eyes to heaven, verse 1, He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You, even as You gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom You have given Him, He may give eternal life. This is eternal life. This is eternal life. That they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. We spend eternity We spend forever growing in our knowledge of God. Eternal life is connected to knowing God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Knowing God. Knowing God. So tonight I take you on a journey to think about knowledge. And tonight we talk about true knowledge. Now what you're going to find as we look at these things, it's very important for us to understand this, that Peter, Second Peter is beautiful because we saw various places where he used the word diligence, and I reviewed those for you. We saw different places where he described the word moral excellence or virtue or goodness. And now we find the same thing in Peter's words when he comes to talk about knowledge. And I've given you these verses as an introduction with four very important points. If you read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in what? The knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. The first thing we learn from Peter is that, now this is important for us all, the grace of God. Oh, how we love the grace of God. And the peace of God. Grace and peace are multiplied as we increase in our knowledge of God. What did the Lord say? This is eternal life. This is eternal life. That they may know you, the true God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Will there ever be a time when you don't need to know something about God? Are you here tonight? And you would, if you were grading yourself, give yourself at least probably a B on your knowledge of God and the Bible. Well, we don't take tests like you do in school, but we live our tests. You see, the determination on how well you know God is the way you live your life. The understanding that you have of knowledge, if knowledge is only to puff you up, there's a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible, but they're arrogant about it. In fact, they use their knowledge like a club. You ever had anybody beat you with their Bible knowledge, just pound you in the brain with it? It's a cruel thing to see, but it happens. What did Paul say? Knowledge puffs up. You must be careful as you think about knowledge. The Word of God talks about some who are always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. So as we consider and I begin tonight, I must talk to you about knowledge and the difference between just gaining facts and understanding. A lot of people read their Bible that way. They read their Bible just so they can know all the facts. And there is an element of that that's very important. That's what we're doing with the boys and girls in GAs and RAs. And Sunday school. That's what we're doing with the young people. That's what we do in our Sunday school Bible study classes for adults. We give general reading, common knowledge about the Word of God. You need to know who Jehu is, and you need to understand who Jehoshaphat was, and the events of the Bible. But gaining these facts is only one part of the true knowledge that we must have. So that we experience what Peter says right here. Grace and peace are multiplied in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to be pressing on you tonight, asking you, how serious are you? How well are you acquainted with what it means to grow in your knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to discover with me tonight that this kind of knowledge is more than facts. It's relational. And so we'll get to that. So let me just outline. Notice what Peter, he gives you four things about this knowledge, and then we'll go to some general observations, and then I'll give you some practices, and we'll be done for tonight. So number one, grace and peace multiplies. That's what I need in my life. You may not need it, but I need it. The old preacher needs it up here. I've had enough warfare and trouble and agitation and irritation. I need peace. I want the peace of God to rule in my heart. Anybody else want that here tonight? Man, I want it. I need it. I want to not only have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ by salvation, but I want the peace of God. What did the Lord say to the disciples? My peace I leave with you. And I need the grace of God. Oh, how I need the grace of God, and how grateful I am that the grace of God is extended to me when I'm a sinner, and the grace of God is still extended to me as a saved sinner. Grace and peace multiplied. It just, when I read the word multiply, I think about when the Lord kept making the bread, you know, kept making the fish and the bread. It just kept coming. And then it was more than they needed. It just kept coming out of the basket. They just kept going in there to get it, and it kept coming out. That's what I need. That's what you need. Grace and mercy multiplied. But it comes connected to this matter of increasing in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, he says in verse 3. Notice he got the word knowledge again coming in verse 3. Seeing that his divine power, God's power, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through, here we are again, the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. There's that word excellence. Oh, he strings this. Those of you who are serious Bible students, you go through some time and just pull apart 2 Peter chapter 1 and find all of these words that he repeats in multiple ways in this cluster, especially in the first 11 verses. I'm going to do some of that for you, but it's unbelievable. This is the beauty of the Word of God. God provides everything for life and godliness as we increase in the knowledge of God. So some of you tonight, you know, this is what I'm talking about. Some of us have kind of checked it off that we know enough. You know, some of us old people in here, we know enough, don't we? No, I don't know enough. I don't know enough. You old people in here, you don't know enough. You young people in here, you certainly don't know enough. You don't know enough. And because I don't know enough for all of life and everything I face, I need the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to help me. If I'm going to have everything I need to be godly, then I must understand it's connected to knowing God. If I know who He is in His holiness and majesty and glory and excellence, then those things become mine as the Holy Spirit does that work in me. So God provides everything. By the way, He says everything, everything, all, everything. God provides everything for life and godliness as we increase in the knowledge of God. So some of you are stuck tonight. The problem you have is you don't have enough knowledge of what you should be doing at your age in your spiritual life. You need more knowledge. You need to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, the believer must increase in the true knowledge of God. And this is where we're reading this word supplement. This troubles some people when they read this. It's almost the idea, well, you mean you got to add something to your faith to be saved? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the supplements, the things that go with saving faith. This is the character in which, this is the kind of life you live. These qualities exhibit someone who is a saved sinner. And he's describing here adding the supplement of moral excellence, and then to your moral excellence, supplementing that with knowledge. When I have moral excellence and I add knowing God to it, there's something that helps me. Then we come to the last of his points. The believer is useful and fruitful while increasing in the true knowledge of God. You see, the more I know about the Lord Jesus and the more I know about how God works, the better I am equipped to serve Him and be useful to Him. That's what he means over here when he says, as you read in verse number 8, if these qualities are yours, are these yours? Well, tonight, every Christian in this room must ask yourself, are these qualities mine? That's why I call this things you need. You need this. I need this. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, notice they're increasing. This is why I asked you the question about knowledge. If you think you know enough, you're going to be in real trouble in your spiritual life. The saddest thing for me to see is when I meet Christians who think that they know enough. They know enough. And they're proud about it. The Pharisees were proud about what they knew. They argued with the Lord Jesus every day. And I was just grinning today as I was looking at some other things, and I was looking through the Gospels about another matter, and it's at least, I believe, 9 times the Lord says in the Gospels, "Have you not read?" Now, He's talking to the Pharisees every time. "Have you not read? Have you not read? Have you not read?" I bet that was just a stinging shot to these arrogant Pharisees and scribes and lawyers. They knew enough. If you've come to church tonight, I love you in the Lord Jesus, but if you're sitting here in arrogance thinking you know enough, you're in a bad place spiritually. You're in a dangerous place. And hopefully before you leave tonight, you'll be in a better place. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the, here it is, the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the meaning of, let me go to this next thing. So the duty of the believer is to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read it in 2 Peter 3:8 now. 2 Peter 3:8. It's at the end of the book. He closes this entire letter out with these wonderful words, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Grow in the grace. So I'm only taking this one phrase, but grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is your duty to grow. So what is the meaning of the word knowledge? How's it used? Well, again, you remember I say this, we're reading an English translation based on the New Testament written in the Greek language. So when I say what does the word mean, I'm referring back to how is this word translated in the Greek language. Well, you have at least 5 ways. And I'll just give them to you. It's just somewhat of a dictionary thing because they're all used in different ways. But they all have elements of truth about knowing God. To know someone or something for who or what he or it really is. So knowledge is about understanding the nature of someone or something. To come to an inward understanding of something. Knowledge has with it a sense of once you get the facts, they're gained. You're in your mind. The amazing thing about our mind is that you begin to have understanding. It takes you from knowledge to wisdom to understanding. All the years run together now. I mean, 2 years in the book, we did half the year in Psalms, 3 years. It's half the year in Psalms, half the year in Proverbs. And what is the pattern of the Proverbs? Over and over again, it is, first of all, knowledge to wisdom, wisdom to understanding. That's what we all need in here. So knowledge also leads into understanding of things. So it also has to do, see, with learning facts. That's important. We need to learn facts. And if you're a new Christian, you must read your Bible so that you can read and understand what these facts are and go to Bible study, because there's no way if you just come to worship, you're going to gain that. You have to read it on your own. Read the Bible reading schedule we give you in the church. And then attend class so you can learn the knowledge of the Bible. You're not alone. People are still all learning things about the Word of God, the facts. But then it is to grow in deeper understanding of someone or something. And this is relational. This is where it starts to become. Knowledge is a relational thing. To give acknowledgement of someone or something is also this. So I've given you this statement here, increasing in the true knowledge of God, and I hope you notice that that's what Peter says here a number of times, the true knowledge of Him. In verse number 3, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory. And then in 2 Peter 1:8, in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is true knowledge? Well, here it is. We increase in true knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that is a personal experiential knowledge. Now, some of you say you know who I am, but I promise you, you don't know me like this woman knows me. And there's no way you'll ever know me like she knows me. 43 years. It'll be 43 years in May. May? Yeah. I'm not alone in here. Some of you men in here are in the same shape as me. I asked one of you the other day, and they're in this room, well, when's your anniversary? And they froze up. There was her wife standing right there. Bad, bad move on your part. I felt bad. I thought, well, I was going to have to invite you to my house to stay the rest of the day. Because your wife didn't look very nice. You see, the one you're married to, the one you have deep relationships, and it can be your family, it can be your children, it can be your grandchildren. It is a personal, true knowledge is personal and experiential knowledge. You're together in relationship. And because you're together in relationship, you deepen your experience with one another, deepens, and it's a wonderful thing. True knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest, the most glorious thing in the world is to grow in your knowledge. Your personal experience. See, you have a personal knowledge of God. You're saved, and you now have had, and a lot of us in this room, depending on how long you've been a Christian, you've had enough experiences. You've seen how God has always come through for you. Anybody want to say amen to that? Always come through for you. Always. Never failed. And you thought it was going to all fall apart, and He came through. He came through. Your experience over time is just what I was praying a moment ago from the Psalms. Your loving kindness. You know, we praise You for Your loving kindness in the morning, and we praise You at night for Your faithfulness. Anybody in here ever seen God be faithful to you? He's faithful all the time. So have a true knowledge of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God, you know what I do? My relationship with the Lord is stronger. I desire to know God even more. It's beyond facts and figures in my Bible and stats and data and doctrines. This is what Paul was trying to say in the book of Hebrews. Let's move on beyond these elementary principles. You know what he wanted to talk about? The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. But he said, you're not ready for it. You can't take it. So tonight I ask you this. Do you understand what it really means to have an experiential, deep relationship of knowledge of God? Do you want to, as often as you can, spend time in the presence of God with the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to deepen your relationship with Him? Well, that's what you need. We have enough time with our friends. We have enough time with other things. But do you have true knowledge? True knowledge. What did the Lord say? I didn't have it on your sheet. So number one, increasing in the true knowledge of God leads to salvation. You can't be saved until you come to know the Lord Jesus. I've given you all these verses. I'll just pick out a few. As I read already, John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You've sent. I didn't give it to you, but I should have if you're taking notes. John 8:32, You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth. So there is truth and there's falsehood. The truth is always found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we saw that in our studies in the book of Colossians. We were spending all that time talking about the Lord Jesus because in Him are hidden. In the Lord Jesus are hidden all the mysteries of wisdom and knowledge. So you see, the more I get to know the Lord Jesus, I'm talking about your spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about your time in prayer. I'm talking about your time interacting in prayer and with the Word of God. I'm talking about your time of thinking deeply and meditating on the... I'm talking about the normal Christian life. If you don't do this, that's why I'm here as your pastor. We got to help you get to where you... Don't tell me you don't have a memory. There's a lot of stuff you remember because some of you tell me about everything that the president says and you can almost quote him. You memorize things. You just choose what you want to memorize. Don't be lazy. Memorizing, meditating on the Word of God, taking it in, praying, spending, well, I don't have time to do it. No, you have time. So we see these wonderful words that are given to us here. What did Peter himself say? I gave it to you. I'm going to highlight just a few of these. John 6:69. We have, remember, this is when Peter made the good confession. We have believed. Look at the language here. This is John 6:69. It's on your sheet, first page, under increasing in the true knowledge that leads to salvation. We have believed and come to know. There it is. That's what everybody in this room has to do. We have believed and come to know. That's what Peter's saying. Add to what you know. Add a deepening in your relationship with God, that you are the Holy One from God. Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. See, when you gain a real relationship with God and you truly experience the Holy Spirit of God pouring out the love of God in your heart, it's beyond knowledge. It brings you to absolute peace about every little piddly thing that comes in your life. And some of them are big, but when you experience the love of God, it washes them all away. 1 John 4:6, we have come to know and believe. Well, he just turned it in a different order. It's the same thing. You see, faith and knowledge go together. We have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. I hope you can say that tonight. That's what it means to have an experiential, growing relationship with God. I have come to know and believe. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Secondly, increasing in the true knowledge of the one who not only saves us, but who called us. And I've given you just an enormous... I told you, you're spoiled people. I print all these out for you every week. Every single week, I print out all these verses for you. And nobody's ever told me thank you. Do you want to say thank you to me? Do you want to say... Okay, now I'm happy. Like a little spoiled child, you've made me happy. Now I got over it and I feel better. Increasing in the true knowledge of the one who called to salvation. So those whom he predestined, he called. Those to whom he called, he justified. Those to whom he justified, he glorified. This is that chain, that wonderful, wonderful, beautiful picture of how the Lord has chosen us and how he has saved us and justified us. And he's called us. The knowledge of God calling you. I ask you this sometimes when I preach. Do you remember where you were when God first called to you in your sin? What a wonderful thing. And now he's called you. He saw it last week. It's there. You know, it's in the 1 Peter 2:9. It's under the same listing. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim, remember this is that word, the best of good of him who has called you. He's called you where? Out of darkness. We don't live like the world anymore. We've been called out of that. The church is the word itself for church. You know, many of you know this. You've taught it. Ecclesia is the Greek word. It's to be called out. We're called out ones. God called us out of this mess. He called us out to himself. He's called you into a relationship with him. And it's described by Peter as coming out of darkness into light. Wonderful words. Increasing in the true knowledge of God by growing in our knowledge of the Lord. So, over and over, Paul prayed for the churches that he ministered to. In Ephesians 1:17, and really verse number 18, and I left it off, Paul says that he prays for the Ephesians, and I pray it for you as your pastor, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know, see the word? Know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward you? This is what he wants them to know. To know what is the hope of your calling. To know the riches of the glory of your inheritance. To know the surpassing power that's yours. Those are facts that deepen When you go before the Lord and you pray and you pause to think, thank you, Lord, for calling me and saving me and for the riches of grace and glory and an inheritance in heaven that I don't deserve, saved and assured, and the surpassing power of God to work in my life as I trust Him. So we see all of these things. They all become very important for us. And I could go to several others, but he prays in Colossians 1:10 for the Colossian church that they would increase in the knowledge of God. I'm praying the same for you tonight, every one of you. My great desire is tonight that the thing you need is to increase in your knowledge of God. Why would you be satisfied? You see, because I know my wife and I love my wife and I know her, I want more of a deeper relationship with her, not less. I'm not going to say to Pat, well, I'm done. I'm pretty much there. I got you. I figured everything out about you. I know her thing. She'd say, okay, well, you're going to get some more training. And I've been told that. I have been told that. I said, Pat, have I been doing pretty good? She said, you've done all right, but you need about 40 plus years more training. Well, I added that up. I'll probably be dead. So there you go. It means the rest of my life I'm under training. Some of you young men in here just got married. You got a long way to go. Remember the two statements that'll help you in life. Yes, Lord. Yes, dear. If you say that, you're good. Pretty good, Dale, wasn't it? So practices for growing in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus. Somebody told me that, man, you give us too many of these. Well, pick whichever ones you want. If you go up here to the flower shop, all the flowers are beautiful. Just pick the one you want. Just pick one if you don't want to pick more. I gave you A through K. I could have given you A through Z. But all of these are important, and they're practices that will help you grow in your knowledge. I'm trying to say, so how do I do it? I've seen all the facts now. Great, you've presented it all. I need, as you say here, Pastor Mike, an increasing, a deepening, a growing knowledge that is personal and experiential in my relationship with God, to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you have to read and study the Word of God. Every bit of the knowledge we have about God comes only from the Word of God and the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit teaching us. This is it. I go back to my one statement to you. If I leave this place and all I have ever done is pound away enough at all of you to say, read your Bible every day, I will feel like I will have accomplished something. Because if you get in this book, if you find yourself here, if you will read it, well, I don't know enough about it. There's no special quality of training except that you open the Word of God and read it, and it will start to take you. It has its own voice. It speaks to you. It is the Word of God. Quit trying to analyze it and be an engineer. Take the Word of God, open it up. This is the problem with so many. They read their Bible and try to figure it out. Open the Word of God and listen to what it says. Just listen to it. As I've said to you many times, hear with your eyes. Hear with your eyes. Read and study the Word of God. Psalm 119:40. I long for your precepts. Let me tell you, if you want something, some of you study stuff, and you can tell me all about it. We got some farmers in here. They can tell me more. They can tell me more about how to fix the field than I care to know. They can tell me more about their tractors, and they got it down. They study stuff. They study it because they want to know about it. Do you want to know God? Study. Submit to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. It's still one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Remember we looked at it, Acts 10:33. Cornelius, a Gentile. He didn't know anything. He was told in a vision to have Peter come. Peter comes, this very man, Peter comes and preaches, and just before he preaches, Peter walks in there and that place is filled with Gentiles. I bet that shocked old Peter. Whoa, what in the world? Oh, look at all these Gentiles. And what did Cornelius say? We have all gathered here to hear all that the Lord has commanded you. That's the way you got to go to church and listen to preaching and teaching. Instead of going in there trying to see if you can outfigure the preacher or the teacher, or sitting there going, I could do a better job. Well, then go be a preacher somewhere. There's plenty of places that need preachers. I'm just doing the best I can do with what I've got. We're not in here to try to one-up each other. I've seen this my entire life in church. It's ridiculous. If God's called you to preach, go preach. Go do it. But when you come to preaching or you come to teaching under your teacher here, have the attitude of Cornelius. We've come to hear all that God has said to you. You see, the Lord will take care of the one who's teaching. Let not many of you become teachers. You will incur a stricter judgment. You tell somebody else about something, you don't do it. The Lord has a way of talking with you about that. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach you God's Word. What did John 16:13 say? The Spirit of truth will come. The Spirit of truth. He describes the Holy Spirit. And He will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of truth guides you into truth. You say, oh, Pastor Mike, I'm going through such horrible times. Have you had any time where you have sat down and opened the Word of God and sought God to know what He would have you to do, to listen to what He says through? He will take you through the Word of God and speak to you. I promise you He will. But you must do it. Ask God for wisdom and understanding of His Word. Psalm 119:18 says, open my eyes that I might see the wonderful things out of your law. This is what I'm saying. The more you look at these words and you take them apart and you put them together, you see the beauty of the Word of God. Every word matters. So I'm one of those who believes that I ought to read my Bible five times as much as I read some other book written by Dr. So-and-so. And I appreciate Dr. So-and-so. And all of a lot of them are smart. But I need to read my Bible and let the Holy Spirit teach me and sit under the teaching that goes on in my church and allow the Lord to do what He's doing. He's trying to do something in your life. Submit to it. Ask God for wisdom and understanding. Lord, what do I need to know? The reason why I say that is because this is what Peter said, my dear friends, at the beginning tonight. See, by His divine power, He's given you everything for life and godliness. Then ask Him. Go to the Scriptures. Search them. Listen to what's being preached. Listen to what's being taught. Maintain a deep and growing hunger and thirst for God's Word. I could have said, you know what the Lord said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But 1 Peter 2:2 says, like a newborn baby longs for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow. You will not grow spiritually. You grow only in proportion to how you spend your time in God's Word. And I'm just going to say this. Whatever else you read, and I'm talking about good devotional books. You know, somebody said, well, I read this book every morning. Do you read that book instead of your Bible? You need to think about it. Don't let other books that are good, nice devotional books replace your reading of the Word of God. Do you want more of it? Do you want more of it? Do you want more? Remember when you first became a Christian? You couldn't get enough of it. You wanted to know all about it. But then we got to where we know everything, right? We don't need it anymore. We're accomplished Pharisees. We've made it. We know it, but we don't live it. It's a dangerous thing. Receiving God's truth with humility. What did James teach us? We spent so much time on this about receiving the Word of God earlier when we were looking at the book of Acts. I'll read it to you again. It's James 1:21. So here's what I do. Here's what you must do. I pick up my Word of God. I'm preparing to read in the morning, night, evening, whenever it is. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the Word implanted. Humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm going to quit trying to be the know-it-all here, and I'm going to listen to what You want to say to me out of Your Word. I don't know, but You do. And I want to know You. Why are You letting this happen in my life? Ah, now you come to discover it. And then one of my life verses is Philippians 3:10. It is the desire to know God, that I may know Him. Paul says about himself, and it's my own desire. It's not that I may know God's Word, that I may know Him three ways: in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformable to His death. Now that's knowledge. That's what you want to do. You want to know the Lord Jesus, like Philippians 3:10 describes. Do you have that kind of relationship with God? You need to study the nature of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I've given you three examples. I could have given you many, many others. Exodus 34, you remember this is when the Lord spoke about Himself to Moses. When He was hiding Moses, He wanted to see His glory. You remember? Yahweh, Yahweh, Elohim, full of compassion, slow to anger. You remember? He goes through the list describing the character of God. When was the last time you paused and sat down and meditated and thought about and gained knowledge about the very character of the holy God we serve and the Lord Jesus Christ? Colossians 1, we spent weeks in Colossians 1 going line by line describing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't do that with you just so you could check it off your list. You heard it. Did you ever go home and think about it? He is the image of the invisible God. He is the creator of all things. He holds all things together by His own power. The nations of the world don't hold all things together. The Lord Jesus holds this world together to keep it from exploding. Just go take anyone. He's the head of the church. Now that'll get some of us in the right place who think we're boss of the church. He's the head of the church. And that in all things He might have preeminence. Is He first place in your life? He goes first, you're last. Well, I'm just illustrating here. Hebrews 1, another place we spent time. Oh, the glory that's describing. He is the exact representation of the glory of God. And it goes on. Learn God's ways and how He works. See, this is what it means to have a relationship with God. You finally grow enough to quit saying, why? And you start saying, thank you. Did you hear what I just said? You stop saying why and you start saying thank you. And I end by saying this to you, my friend. Where the Lord is fully known, He is greatly loved. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the opportunity we have to study Your Word. But studying Your Word is not just to be a student and to know some facts. We come to these very words, the very words of life, so that we might have a deepening, growing, wonderful, powerful, trusting relationship, loving relationship with You, our God and Savior. We thank You for the blessed Holy Spirit who will reveal to us so that we don't say why, but thank You all the days of our life, whatever You bring into our life. Our relationship with You is the most important. Help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge, a true knowledge of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for my friends here tonight. Bless them all as we go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Good to see you. Say hello to someone on your way out. If you don't know them, there's some guests. You might be somebody here you don't know. Say hello to them. Introduce yourself.